for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 20 plus years. Wait, that's not right at all.
12
plus years in that games media. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations with us, come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
Where the fuck is my pen? If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can by heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Max.
Thanks for that little ASMR fucking section when you were going from left to right on your mic.
Oh, yeah. So for those that don't know, I'm trying my very best to do like timestamps as we go, just, you know, because it's probably a good idea.
You want to skip our personal bullshit? Here you go. Here's the timestamp.
Yeah, booze. Yeah, but then there are people that are like, we only want to hear that shit. I'm like, well, that's weird, but cool. Go ahead. But yeah. So, for those that don't know, we're recording on Easter Sunday. So, as we always, not every Easter Sunday, but most Sundays. Happy Easter to everyone at home. Happy Easter yourself, Max. How have you celebrated your Easter?
We did an egg hunt this morning with... Yeah. The kid, and then we were out for dinner tonight.
Yeah, and what'd you do at that dinner, huh?
Had barbecue and tequila.
So, this could be a wild ride, everybody.
It could be a wild one, or Max may just fall asleep in the middle of the
fucking show. Yeah, he might just, like, conk, you know. But tequila isn't known for its conking ability.
See, the thing is, it's not just tequila. So, you know how last weekend on a Friday night, I messaged you like, must be the weekend. I'm in an emergency room.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, Max was in an emergency room again this Friday night.
How do you have, because you do private and you cost you dollary dues every time you go.
I didn't this time. I went public. Smart. I went to the July hospital. No, not smart. I got there at 10 o'clock at night. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the doctor went, you're probably not going to get seen till the shift change at 8 a.m. because we've got 11 ambulances that have come in because some fuckwit did some burnouts in a paddock and killed someone. So there were police there doing interviews and they're like, you're not going to get seen. Just go home. I'm like, okay. And quite frankly, I was sick of my kid going, has the doctor called my name yet? Has the doctor called my name yet?
Yeah, back to what we talked about last week. You have absolutely induced some Munchausen in your kid.
No, so what happened was, on Monday, Hadley had a fall at kinder.
Okay, that's a pretty good reason.
Kinder called us and said Hadley's complaining of pain in her cheek.
Okay.
She wants to come home. So we kept her home from kinder all week, and she kept complaining every day. She's like, hey, my cheek's really sore. And I said, can you point to where it is? And she's like, it's down here. I'm like, that's not cheek pain, that's fucking tooth pain.
You worried that she's like wanged a tooth or something?
So, me worried, wanged a tooth because she fell. I'm like, okay, this is we're gonna go and do. Go get you checked out.
Yes.
And then I went. So we took her to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Didn't get seen. So we took her to the non-emergency room the next morning. Turns out she has one of the gnarliest ear infections that the doctor's ever seen.
Okay, well that's different.
That explains pain in her cheek.
Could also explain her fall, because the ear infection would have jacked up her balance.
Because she's a dumb kid, she doesn't know where.
Yeah. things. Actually, no, but like that's totally true. Like in terms of pain in weird locations. Like when my appendix nearly burst, I had ball pain. That was bizarre. And I rang the nurse on call. I'm like, hey, my nutsack hurts. And she's like, thanks.
Well, it's like when babies teeth, their asshole gets, their butthole gets.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where I'm like, hey, like I have intense abdominal pain, I haven't shit in 3 days, my ball sack hurts, what's going on? She goes, you should be right. So I wait another 2 days, and then I was like, this is kind of unbearable. I'm going to go to the doctor. And he's like, motherfucker, your appendix is about to explode. Can you drive it? Can you drive to the hospital right now? Can you grab 2 liters of water, chug that shit, because you need to get ultrasounded in the next 20 minutes. I'm like, yes, sir. And then So thankfully, your daughter didn't have ball pain. That's good to know.
So now the fun part is putting eardrops in her ear 4 times a day, because apparently the world is ending.
Every time you got to put the drops in?
Yeah, because she has to sit still for 10 minutes lying down, which is fine if she doesn't have eardrops in. But if she has eardrops in, 10 minutes is like an eternity.
Yes, can confirm ADHD. Well, not saying your daughter has that, but for me, if I have to fucking sit somewhere, it's the worst thing in the world. I don't want to do it. But I could easily sit there and get lost into some bullshit. Like today, I absolutely did this today. Like this evening, I had my son this weekend. I had him Thursday, Friday. With him living in my house as well as his mum's house, different houses, we share a distribution of those festive holidays. So we have alternate. So he gets to wake up at Millie, my ex-wife, his mum, on Easter. He gets to wake up at my house at Christmas, and we swap. So it was my normal weekend. I had him Thursday, Friday, Saturday, took him back to his mum's. And then this morning, got kindly invited to go have Easter breakfast with him. That was awesome. Did Easter eggs exchanges. And then he's like, hey, can I go to your house? I'm like, why? He goes, because Charlie's there. And Charlie is my partner's cat. He doesn't give a shit about me. He wants to see my cat. So he came over here, cat, that sort of stuff.
Your son's choosing pussy over
you. Which is understandable, man. It's good. It's good to know those things now. It's good to know where I stand when it comes to my son. But yeah, it's the same thing, because he's a little ADHD boy, right? Like, trying to get him to, sit still is the worst. And then I go, hey, you want to sit with Charlie? He's like, yes, and he will be there, and he will lock eyes on that cat, and, sit with it, and pat it, and treat it all kinds of nice. He's like, I'm never going to leave where I'm sitting, because Charlie doesn't want to leave. I'm like, okay. So that's the trick. Just, you gotta find a way, give her the Bluey game or something, and she can just lay it on the side.
She was literally lying there for half an hour watching a TV show, and the second we put the eardrops in, she's like, can't sit here. I have to get up. I have to move. So I just chill the fuck out. Please. You're upsetting your baby brother.
She's like, fuck him. He doesn't need to get eardrops.
When she goes off, he gets really upset because she's upset.
Because he hears loud noise, I assume, and then cracks it.
Yeah.
That's poo.
Yeah. Other than that, it's been fine. She's getting there. She's doing it. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Even the understanding of doing this will make your cheek stop hurting, which is... I guess for her, she's like, why are you fucking with my ear? My cheek hurts.
Yeah. Because when we got home tonight, I said, I want you to go and hop into bed and Dad will bring your medicine. She's like, not the ear. I'm like, no, we're not doing eardrops.
The Reverend Park in the chat says, time to rip out her whole ear system, replace it with a synthetic ears. It is true. It's a good idea. We did, I said I was playing back when I played Cyberpunk at the tail end of last year. The cybernetics, there's potential.
Yeah, it's just...
Imagine if I had the reduced ball sack pain if I had a synthetic ball sack or a synthetic appendix, which would make no sense because the appendix is utterly useless.
I mean, to be fair, we should just not have appendixes since they do.
That's what I'm saying. Is it I want to replace it with a robot one and then get that removed when that gets robotically infected, I guess. I don't know why I chose to do that, but
watch your cade.
Yeah. Oh, God, my appendix has a virus. That's weird. It's a Trojan virus because it's not supposed to be there. But other than that, I said similar to yourself, very chill sort of weekend for the Easter. Not a lot happened during the week. What's exciting next week? I'm in Brisbane Tuesday, Wednesday. Cool, fun. That's exciting. Work stuff. But what is exciting is next weekend, because next weekend is motherfucking WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you don't care. Be welcome to come watch WrestleMania.
For some reason, I always think WrestleMania is later in the year.
Nah, WrestleMania is always April. Sort of early April. And River and Puck, WrestleMania. Yeah. Look, don't you want to see The Rock wrestle for the first time in about 8 years?
I don't know what I'm excited for next weekend. What's that? Fucking daylight savings to be over.
Oh, man. Yeah, what a transition this week has been. It's suddenly out of nowhere. It's darker, and it's weird, and I don't like it. But I also love it because the weather's changing. And right now, we're in that middle ground, right? Like, where my house is either super... we've bitched about my house on here before. Old 60s, 70s house. No insulation. It's either cold as shit or hot as fuck. It's two choices. But right now... like, the mornings are nice because it's cold, so I'm getting all nice in my blankies, and it's lovely. And, Mute goes, oh, you guys don't get it yet. No, we're getting rid of it. We've had daylight savings. We're fucking it off. Now we're going back into regular time. And then the afternoon's nice, so the house is still kind of warm. It's lovely. It's that lovely time. There's about 3 weeks when my house is bearable, and then it's going to get fucking cold, and it's probably going to get, like, -3 degrees in my kitchen. And... awesome. I can't wait. But daylight savings can get rooted. Because, like, waking up at normal time and it's dark is confusing to me. And but it getting darker at night, much appreciated. Except for today. Yeah. I was playing some VR today, and it was bright when I put the headset on, and I took it off, and it was dark, and it was very confusing. Very confronting. Was there anything else? So the answer is WrestleMania, as I was saying, Max. You're welcome to come around. You get to see The Rock wrestle for the first time in about 9 years in a tag team match. Him, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. I'm excited. And then I got Monday off as well because WrestleMania does 2 days now, and I'm a giant dork about it, and I cannot wait. MGB says it's his favorite time of the year, and it's my favorite time of the year. This is my Super Bowl. This is wrestling Christmas. 2 days of wrestling. Thanks, Max. Appreciate your excitement.
Sorry, the tequila came out then.
All right, let's get into the section we call what we've been playing. We talk about what we have been playing. Super Marcy also confirms that WrestleMania is their Christmas too. Oh, it is. It is good shit. It's best time. Best goddamn time. Yes, Max, let's get into what have we been playing. What have you been playing?
Fuck off. No, I check out PlayStation Boob Simulator. Stellar Blade.
Yeah, so the demo for Stellar Blade came out correctly this week, not like 2 weeks ago when the whole game came out, but a demo, but not really. So Stellar Blade came out this week. I'm not going to play it because it's really not my kind of game, and I'm pretty sure when you tell me about what the gameplay is, you're going to confirm it. My problem with this game is this Twitter discourse, and we'll get to that in a minute. Max, how are you finding Stellar Blade in its demo form?
Kind of plays like Neo.
Okay.
Nier.
Fuck that. Boo! Boo! I take that back. Boo! Boo you, Max, tricking me. I just played Rise of the Ronin, and it was fine, and I wanted more Neo, and it wasn't that. And you're like, this game's like Neo. I'm like, sick, can I play some Neo? You're like, no, it's Neo. You son of a bitch.
There's robots.
MGB in the chat, yeah, you heal. That is true wrestling-level shenanigans. Bullshit.
Even down to the HUD, it kind of looks the same. The health bar's a little, segmented.
Are we talking Near Replicant or Near Automata or whatever the hell?
Automata. I would say Automata.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't have that little robot chasing you around to shoot.
But, in a similar vein, Near Automata, Automata, however you want to pronounce it, a lot of upskirt moments in that game because it's made by fucking gross people. I'm sure they're lovely, but it's a different country. It's a different time. What? What?
Don't Thingo make Neo?
Who?
What's their name?
That's the question.
Thingo.
Yeah, those guys.
Don't do this to me.
I don't know.
I can't think of him.
What? You Googleize it.
I am. Platinum Games.
Platinum made Bayonetta, which is, okay, the irony of me shitting on, like, fucking upskirty games. I'm like, Bayonetta rules, so. Which Bayonetta is just essentially a game that's all about, like, fucking your body becomes, like, your suit is just your hair, and when you do hair moves, it takes away. Also, Big shout out to MGB for their 5-stream streak, by the way. Much appreciated.
Seems ridiculous. I feel like MGB's here every week.
Oh, there are some weeks where I think they're streaming, so it kind of comes and goes. Had a couple follows in the last week too, so I love that as well. But yes, Stellar Blade.
Stellar Blade. So it's exactly this. It plays very much like Nier. It's that action adventure RPG. It's got some it's got skill trees. It's got all that fun stuff. The demo, I haven't played the whole demo. I kind of just played the introduction part to the demo, and then I had to turn it off last night because I was literally falling asleep on my chair because I'd slept for like an hour the night before because, you know, hospital and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that hard style combat that Nier had. It's got bosses, nice variety of enemy types. It really reminds me of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Okay.
Yeah. In its style. Because we had the discussion today about the discourse around like the boop physics.
Yeah, so okay,
it's
so
not that bad in the demo.
Yeah.
It's obviously heavily marketed that way because sex sells.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, I'll explain it a little bit just in case there's someone that's not aware. So one of the big selling points, at least that it's being marketed this way, or the internet has taken it this way, behind Stellar Blade is that you have a very voluptuous female lead who's wearing this skin tight armor, and
essentially like a flight suit.
Yeah, it's like a flight suit, but even though it's a tight suit that holds everything in, apparently it doesn't. It has the most malleable material around her boobs and or butt, where like no matter that, like they just move like chaos, like this jelly. And it's one of those things where like I do wonder whether the people that have made this have seen boob. Because they don't really match boobage and how it works. But the problem that I have with it directly is how it's appearing on Twitter, where the discourse around the game is not like, hey, this game looks kind of cool, or I'm really curious on what this is. It's like, ha, titties. Yeah, I'm going to buy 7 copies of this game because it's got boobs in it. And fuck the woke agenda, because you know what the woke agenda was always about? Taking away my boobs and games. Not about the mistreatment of individuals and like, you know, the just abhorrent shit. Nah, fucking titties. And I hate it. I fucking hate it. The game, like, I'm not going to play the game. It's not my game anyway, but...
Look, I played the demo, and I literally, from the first bit of combat, I fought like 3 enemies at once. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. This is
well,
great.
Yeah, look, and that's, look, that doesn't surprise me, because this is part of why I do what I do in terms of like making this show, etc. Is for me, discussing games is way more fun. And yeah. I knew that when I spoke to you, I'd be like, hey, tell me about the game.
I mean, I've been hyped from it since they showcased it, what, like four bloody
set of plays ago, which makes sense because like ago. Visually it looked like it played like Nier, and I'm pretty sure we may have gone, is that Nier, before we saw it was Stellar Blade.
So I mean, I don't know how deep of a story it's gonna have. It's kind of very surface level in the demo. And again, I haven't finished the whole demo, and I think I saw someone say once you finish the actual demo, if you go back to the main menu, there's more stuff that you can kind of fiddle with, which seems interesting. So I haven't dove deep into like, I got to like the first rest point in the first area once you get out of the first little section. So I haven't even, you know, checked out the skill trees, but it has like active usable skills depending on how deep you are in your combos, or by blocking, parrying, dodging, you essentially charge up your special abilities. So it seems like it has a fairly in-depth to a degree combat system, which is what I like. But yeah, it's just, well, you know, I've been interested in it. I would definitely keen to check it out more. But for now, the demo is pretty short. It's a pretty small download. If Nier was in your wheelhouse, give this a check out. Go and play it in front of your significant other, maybe.
It's one of those things where, like, yeah, you're climbing a ladder and you're accidentally looking at the butt, and your partner walks in being like, "What's this?"
And then you get an achievement for doing that.
Yep. Which, you know, Nier had, look up the skirty, get a trophy. Ugh.
Yeah, to the point where the character actually turned around and had a go at you for doing it. Yep. It was funny.
Cool. It's great when you can put that in your game. Well done. Well done. Cool. I'm glad we've progressed as just a general society. Like, I have no issue with you know, identifying attractive individuals. That's fucking, that's rad. But, like, I feel like there's a line.
Well, to be fair, the model is accurate to the person that they base the model on.
That's not my issue. Congratulations. Like, shout out to her. She is well endowed.
It's not like they've over-sexualized the person. It's not like they've exaggerated her.
Oh, yeah, no. Once again, like, it's not an issue of the exaggerated parts.
They haven't made it gross in that way. They've just deliberately picked someone to evoke a certain...
Yeah, because, like, when she moves, nothing else in her body, everything else is fucking rock solid. Except for two parts.
That's three. Four.
Three? Four? Yeah. Two tits and two cheeks. What I call them before? Her fat sacks. Yeah. Lovely. But like, and it's interesting. I'm aware that there is a little hypocrisy in what I'm saying because I have an issue with this.
Because I brought up the how would you feel if Kratos was just like swinging dick constantly.
Dude, if Kratos was hanging dong, go ahead. Like, I thought it was hilarious when Baldur's Gate 3 brought in dick physics. I wanted to create a new character, just be like, penises are funny. But you know what I mean? It's just, like I said, like, because an example is Metal Gear Solid 5, right? I had no issue with their explanation of quiet. I get it. I was like, oh, okay, cool, that's fine. But like, I don't know. I guess the discourse was different then at the time, but like, it feels like I'm being weirdly prudish when I'm not a prude.
What was that?
In any sense?
What up? Quiet being like, did she breathe through her skin and she was essentially suffocating herself if she was wearing?
Yeah, if she wore clothes, she'd suffocate because she's got. But once again, within the world of Kojima's bullshit, I'm like, okay. Like, does it make it okay? Well, no, but it makes sense within the world. And it's better than her looking like an 8-year-old, but being a 1,200-year-old god so we can pull my dick to it, so we can all collectively pull our dicks to it. Like, once again, it sits in that line that I have with Japanese or, you know, some of that area content around sexualization of women in general and how women are treated in general. And you know that there are games that live within that genre that don't do it. So it's totally doable. It's not a cultural thing because there are other games that don't do it. And we have a shared worldwide culture now. Doesn't fucking make sense. But that's me getting really like focused on something for no reason that I don't have to care about. Welcome to the internet. You know what I did really care about this week, though, Max? While I write down a timestamp.
I'll quickly wrap myself up.
Yep.
That's all I've been playing this week. I got really into Yellowstone, and I watched 5 seasons in the last week. So.
Nice.
That was my week. I took a week off. Just was watching cowboys and shit.
Apparently it is really, really good, though.
It's fucking so good. And I hate westerns. This is so good.
It's good character drama, though. Like you can, like I said, it's the
political intrigue.
It's the same as like Sons of Anarchy, right? I don't like motorbikes or motorbike culture. Sons of Anarchy fucking ruled because it was just Hamlet, and you know it was really good character drama. It was awesome. But
my like love of methamphetamine and
Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad's incredible. I'm not a big user of methamphetamine. Oh, no, I am a big user of methamphetamine. I have it every day. I'm not a big fan of drug dealing. No, I'm not.
The DEA.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm trying to think what part I have issue with in Breaking Bad. Is it the hunt for power? I guess I'm not someone that needs power in the same way that you know that Walt does. He needs power of his will. I don't like lung cancer. That is true. There we go. I don't like lung cancer. Breaking Bad's really good.
Mute. Ask if I'm going to fall into the rabbit hole of the Yellowstone spinoff. Maybe.
Oh, apparently there is a bunch. Ryan just hates New Mexico, confirmed, says Reverend Puck. The only way I would know that it was Mexico because they shoot it with that yellow filter.
He hates the American healthcare system.
Yeah, that's true. The American, like, if that was filmed in any other country, be like, you have cancer, here's free treatment. He's like, done, credits. Like, Breaking Bad would be a very different movie. It'd be a short film at that point. It'd be crazy. All right. Back to what I was talking about. So, this week, I finally wrapped I say finally, because I think I touched upon it last week, but only a little bit. I did complete Alone in the Dark. So big thank you to the team over at PlayOn ANZ for providing us the review copy of Alone in the Dark. So I originally played this at PAX last year, and then there was the little demo, and then the demo came out again later. So I played it again, and just kind of like focused a bit more on the world and taking it all in. But to put it simply, Max, Alone in the Dark is exactly what I wanted it to be. To me, it is so perfect.
So when you told me today that you're on credits, I'm like, fuck, that was quick. And you're like, yeah, man. It's like, it took me like 8 hours. I'm like, ooh, I'm suddenly way more intrigued by this game.
Yeah, and it's because
I've been playing long 50-hour motherfuckers. Like, I would love a real short, sweet palate cleanser.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this is what it's going
to
be.
Exactly. So I'll lay down the basics of what the game is. So it is essentially a reimagining of the original Alone in the Dark way back in the day. So you follow two characters, Edward Carnby, who's played by David Harbour in this, which is interesting, and Emily Hartwood. You go to a location in New Orleans, a house called DeSeto, to find your uncle, Jeremy Hartwood, as he has gone missing. A letter has been sent to Emily. Edward Carnby has been hired as the what are they called? PI? Private detective? Private investigator? To come and help find him. That's the plan. You go to the house, and weird shit happens, because it's Alone in the Dark. That's weird shit, right? Done. And very similar to Alone in the Dark back in the day, you can play as either the one character or the other character, and you go on a path, and there are variations in that path. So Alone in the Dark, at its original concept, was just a clone of Resident Evil, even down to like the 2.5D camera, the Metroidvania aspect of going around a big mansion and collecting clues and sort of unlocking shit and telling this weird batshit story, and then a big monster fight at the end, right? Nailed it. Absolutely fucking nailed it. And that is why I think the game is exactly what I wanted. When I saw Alone in the Dark get announced, and that looks like they were, and then having played it at PAX, I went, I know what this game is going to be. It is going to be this beautiful, nostalgia-driven, old school, Metroidvania horror. Like, locked in a location, it's going to be bang on. And it's exactly what I got. Is the game, exceptional in every way? No, not at all. Camera's a bit jank. The models are a bit jank sometimes. It is a straight up AA game. But I knew that going in. And weirdly to me, it amplified a lot of its nonsense. Yeah. In terms of, I know, it felt like that weird 80s horror movie bullshit. And like everything, like some of the things just don't make sense. But it's all visually intriguing. It's dope. And then on the top of that, I'm going around, I'm getting clues, and like you find a puzzle and you have to then go into your memos and all the documents you've collected to find evidence and clues to like suss it out. And then you can use it to rearrange the pictures or suss out the code for this thing. It's dope. And I said, it's only, look, it's 5 chapters. There's a trophy for completing it in under 3 hours. So if you speed run it, you can get it in under 3. And there's also a trophy for going over 8 hours. So I got that one because I finished it in about 9. Because I was just having fun and exploring and making sure I cleared every room the best I could. It's exactly the game that I wanted.
Yeah.
And it's just, because similar to yourself, like I'm trying to get into a groove, right? I don't know what it is. I'm just like, I'm finding something. Rise of the Ronin didn't get it for me.
Come back to Tekken next week, right?
I had Tekken coming back next week with Eddie Gordo. Hell's yes. And then like I've got my usual dailies, like my WWE, my MLB The Show, and even Helldivers I jump in occasionally, but not even to really play it, just to collect all the medals from everyone else doing all the hard work and then buying shit in the war bonds and then not playing it. So it was good to like have a game that absolutely hooked me, because it did. Like the second I booted it up and I saw David Harbour giving the most flat fucking performance I've ever heard, I was like, I know what I'm going for. I know what I'm getting. And it was dope. It was batshit. It was weird. There are moments where it kind of turns the story on its head, because the idea is that everything weird is happening within this house, this mansion in New Orleans, but that's only because Jeremy is keeping it that way by almost traveling interdimensionally into his memories. So you're experiencing the real world and the version of his world and his psyche. And then there are moments where, like, because I played the run that I did with Kambi, because David Harbour, funsies. And there are moments where it pushes you to go, well, is this your psyche or is this Jeremy's psyche or is this the real world? And you're like, fuck, what actually is it? So it's interesting in that way how it kind of fucks with expectations a little bit.
Are you implying that Hopper went into the Upside Down?
He did went into the Upside Down. Straight up. He went into the hell. Went into the Hellboy world. Yeah, straight up upside down. Yeah. Oh, shit. One of the other games that I did check out this week, actually just before I came in, was a VR game called Forest Farm. So this came to us through Keymailer. It was one of the, I think talked about it in a couple of weeks ago, where it, bing, it hits me. I go, Forest Farm, what's this? Click it open and it's like, hey, it's an open world sandbox farming RPG. I was like, you son of a bitch. You get me. You know it. You nailed it. Whether you looked at my account or not, I don't know. Well, sorry, at the Popsy account, I can't tell you. However, what I can tell you is you fucking nailed it. Because there is some jank. There's a little bit of here and there. But at its core, I kind of like what it is. So, it is exactly that. It is a little in the RPG, in the VRs, where you go collectively do farming things. It's stylistically very interesting. The human models are very simple. I'm trying to think of a visual comparison. They kind of have that phone game polygonal kind of look, which is interesting. And then you see like chickens and rabbits and other various like food and or creatures, and they look fucking real. Like their assets are like, here's a kind of a real looking pig, but it looks like a real looking pig picture pasted on a very low poly like pig model. But in VR, like this allows you to have that open world. So I'm not looking at it like a hindrance to the game. I'm looking at it as a way for me to go, ah, cool, I can fuck with this world, because they've chosen to not go that full-blown realistic route to create a living and engaging world.
How immersive is it? Like, obviously it's a PSVR 2 title. So how interactive is it in the world itself?
Most things, at least from where I'm up to, are interactable. Like all the rocks, all the trees, all, you know, like everything that's around you, you can engage with. Like whether you want to do various, like, you know, chopping wood.
Can you pick up like the sheep and shear them, or like?
I haven't got to a sheep yet, but I did. I'm like, hey, what's this picked up? And it was manure, so that was cool. Like you can pick up the rabbits and the chickens, and like you can't like pick them up and pat them or anything. I just kind of like get a rock, like rock solid, like you know, and you. All right, cool. What's that?
Like a deer in headlights.
Straight up, it's kind of like this is a live chicken that's moving around. You pick it up and then it just goes like solid. You're like, huh, that's a 3D model of a chicken. Cool, and then you put it down.
Like reanimate.
Yeah, and there's weird physics stuff as well. So the immediate moment I went, ah, that's fucking weird, was the fishing rod. So you get your five key tools, which is your axe, your pickaxe, your shovel, your watering can, and your fishing rod.
Yep.
So the fishing rod, the line and the hook have the most anti-grav physics I've seen. You go, huh! You go to cast the rod and it goes, woo, and just kind of takes its sweet time and then lands in the water and then it might do something. And like there was a moment where I caught two fish by accident and the game didn't like it and it wigged the fuck out and then my fishing rod just disappeared. That was cool. And then it crashed shortly after, so that was awesome. I'm glad I probably did something I shouldn't have. But yeah, and like looking at where the game can go, so you can buy, like, you know, sleepers and planks and brick and blah, blah, blah. So it looks like I have the ability to, you know, down the line build, like, my own little hut and my own little farm and livestock. And that's all the shit that I get a kick out of when it comes to the farming games. Now, the most, I guess the most recent, but not recent in, like, the last couple months, game that I played on PSVR 2 was Across the Valley, which was another farming VR game. They had a different approach in that everything was in fixed locations. So, like, you had to teleport to there, and there's your little interactive area. And they went for a more stylized pop art, you know, hard borders.
Yeah.
You know, that design. Very Borderlands-y, I guess.
And like play areas as
a Yeah. So like there was that, and you know, it felt very surface level, where here this feels like it has the potential to be deeper the more time I spend with it. Now, so we did get this code like 2 weeks ago. I wasn't able to jump into it until today because like VR is such a thing. You know, it's such a hassle to like put together. What's that?
It's been hot as shit here.
And it has been so goddamn hot. So and once again, house, no insulation, as I mentioned, my lounge room is disgusting. So strapping something to my head is the worst idea. It's the worst. But today was not too bad, so I threw it on. Had a good time with it. Just the beginnings of what I've messed about with Forest Farm. But I'm keen to see what it is. I think knowing that it is simple kind of works in its favor. It has been on PC for quite a while, but it has come across to the PlayStation 5. It's now available as of the 29th. So it is available out there if you want to go check it out. I'm not sure what the pricing is, but I do appreciate you having it thrown our way because, as I said, it did nail things that I'm certainly interested in. Let's see. Let's do a little bit of like the other, you know, other sort of pickup stuff. What else have I been playing? So usual WWE stuff. MLB The Show. I've been playing a lot more of that, diving into the Road to the Show. So Ryan Betson is currently on the path to being the shortstop for the Detroit Tigers. I am still in the Triple A's. I'm still playing for the Erie Seawolves. I've intentionally jacked up the difficulty this year, so I'm not cleaning house like I normally would. But I'm sitting on a sort of a hit average of around 0.4. So like 40% of the time I get on base, which is pretty good in baseball standards. I went more of a contact hitter than a power hitter. So rather than being able to slog it out of the park, like I can really kind of target where I want it to go and get really good hits within like sort of the infield rather than flogging it into the outfield. So it helps me sort of ideally assist with getting a lot more runners into sort of a scoring position, or help getting a lot of RBIs and sort of getting a lot of people in scoring position. I thought that would be a bit more of a deeper way to play in terms of going, oh, cool, I can probably fuck around with these things rather than just going power, punk, and then either they catch it or they don't, like in terms of you know, in the outfield. Before we jump into the news. Now, this is an idea that I threw out on Twitter. Because, Max, you know I love my sim games. Right.
I don't know that about you at all.
No, I've never talked about it before. And I'm like, I know it's a shock. I know it's a surprise. But I love simulating games. I'm very aware that this is likely. It's just one of my little ADHD idea moments because I've had one semi-recently, which was like, I want to make like, weirdly enough, like a little ADHD TikTok helping account, right? I want to be able to share like accurate and fucking factual advice around ADHD. Not these videos of 5 signs you have ADHD, like, ooh, you get restless. Ooh, you forget what you did when you walked into the room once. Like, you know, those, like there is so much misinformation on fucking TikTok around ADHD. And neurodiversity as a whole, and mental health. Fuck, it's bad. So I wanted to be that point of difference. I wanted to come in and try to do something. And then I realized, and I started writing some stuff, and I had so many video ideas, and then I realized I didn't have enough time.
ADHD'd hard, forgot what he was writing, left the room.
You're not wrong. It's exactly what happened. And then off the back, so then I had a shower thought. Not about that, something else.
About Stellar Blade. Yeah,
it wasn't about, yeah. That was given. You know, like I criticize the game so because it's like every person that criticizes something new, it's because I secretly love it. That's how it works. And you know, isn't that the rules? Like, you know, not true at all. but I having recently played Gas Station Simulator, as always, but with the Tidal Wave DLC, and we did those Let's Plays, and they were a stack of fun. And I was like, oh, maybe this is something. Right, like, and I want an excuse to play more simulator games. So over this weekend, I always troll Steam occasionally and be like, this is the hub of simulation games because not everything comes to PlayStation because they tend to need a lot of bullshit, buttons and stuff, right? So I was playing this game called Contraband Police. The idea of the game is you are, it's the 1981, you are working border patrol for some, what's it called, Arkistan? Like some Middle Eastern European fucking country, right? And you've got to stand there at the border and do all these things. It's a little border patrol simulation game. I said, I had a demo. I was like, ooh, open that. I fucking ruled. I was like, oh, this could be something. And then I also downloaded the demo for Thief Simulator 2. And I played that. And it's all about, like, you know, being a thief. So you've got to, like, find the location. You've got to, like, gather the intel. You've got to, you know, scope the place out, suss it out. I'm like, shit. This is awesome.
My day job.
Like, this is dope. I'm getting a kick out of this. And I always, you know, like, farming simulators have always been my wheelhouse. And then gas simulator has been the big one. And then the one I saw recently, which I haven't played yet. Oh, no, I played the demo of and it caught my attention, was Cafe Owner Simulator. I'm like, shit. And then there's more and more that have caught my attention. And then once again, off the back of doing the gas station stuff, which was a ton of fun, and I really enjoyed it. It's like, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I can create like a series or a new channel. I don't want to make a new channel because that seems like effort. But like a new series, which is called Simulated Betson. And I go and I play simulation games and I do some Let's Play content. And, you know, whether it's a first impression, I play it once. If it doesn't land or it doesn't get traction, the answer probably, once again, our videos don't get all that much traction anyway. We do way more numbers audio, always have. So it's like, oh, you know, like, okay, well, maybe if it gets interest or I enjoy it, like, I'll do a series and I'll do like 4, 5, 6, whatever. But if it's something I only do once, okay, okay, cool, piss it off. The challenge that I have, Max, because once again, it is true ADHD fashion, and like everything that I do, I, for some reason, am incapable of just having something and enjoying it and loving it. I have to make it work to justify me doing it in my brain. Same as wrestling. I fell in love with wrestling, and what did I do? Ended up working in it. So now I have an excuse to go watch wrestling all the time. Same as games. I love playing games. So what I do, made this whole fucking channel just so I have an excuse to play games and get away with it. It counts as work, right? That's the idea. And I had a little fun today because, you know, I was having a little fun today with the thumbnails, the ideas, is I just found a picture of me and then the thumbnail would be me on one side and then the other side would be, the, you know, a background or of the game, and I'd use my face and I would, like, farming simulator, I would, you know, put a farming hat on and a pitchfork. If it's thief simulator, I'd put, like, a, you know, domino mask and a beanie. And, you know, if it's, you know, whatever the idea is, it would be, you know, drug dealer simulator, which is a fun game. Just give yourself those, you know, speed dealing sunglasses and, like, a gross mustache, which I already have, so that's perfect. I don't know, that seems like the idea. Is it any good? No. Will I actually deliver on it? Probably not. What's your thoughts? I've just, like, dumped a bunch of
things. It's a very dangerous, slippery slope.
How so?
Because what'll happen is you'll find one that you'll really like, and then I'll have to fucking hear about it every week. You won't stop playing it.
But that would be the benefit, though, right? Like, if we're doing supplementary videos for it.
I actually think it's cool. I actually think it's really cool. And I think it would be right up your wheelhouse, too, because you do play a lot of simulation games.
That's true.
They generally speaking don't get a lot of spotlight because they suck.
Because they're all fucking janky. Like, they are all janky.
They're generally all janky, and they do fit a very small niche. Like, I'm not into them. Not that I'm a small niche, but, you know, they're not my wheelhouse. I don't even like the fucking Sims. I think my only foray into a simulation game was I did Bus Driver Simulator once. That fucking sucked. I blew up my bus in the car park before I could get out.
Well, see, that's the thing, because, like, there are certain ones that aren't of my interest, and I want to play them for funsies. Like, Lawnmower Simulator sounds like asshole. I don't mind.
Actually, that's a lie. I played the fucking shit out of Power Wash Simulator.
Yeah, and then Power Wash Simulator is the same thing. Like, but, like, having played that for a little sample semi-recently, my son fell in love with it. His mum fell in love with it. It tickled her, like, fucking ASD brain, like, bang on. And she's like, this is the best thing fucking I've ever experienced. Where, like, for me, like, I have too much ADHD to be like, I can't do this because it is so meticulous that it's like, it's all fucking little shit. There's a fucking little bit of dirt right there. And, like, watching my son do it, like, if I've ever, ever, ever had to think about, like, does my son have ADHD? Watching him play this fucking game, clear as day. Because he's like, I'm going to clean this fence. I'm bored of this fence. What's over here? Oh, I'm done with that. What's over here? And then you zoom out and, like, there are just patches of fucking clean everywhere. And he's like, I'm finished with the fence. My turn around. He's like, and there's a whole other rest of the fence. He's like, damn it. So, yeah. And look, having played a lot of Supermarket Simulator as well, which is weird because I fucking hated working retail, but the game rules, you know, that cooking simulator, I can't cook for shit, but maybe the game would inspire me to think of recipes. Like, and the, you know, the other one is, like, as you mentioned, like Bus Driver Simulator or Euro Truck or whatever. I don't get cars. Fucking, I don't, they just, whatever reason, I do not understand them. But part of me wants to play, like, Car Mechanic Simulator, and then maybe I'll fucking learn how cars work. So next time my car makes a weird noise, I'm not going to go, I think I need to get a new car, and then realize I probably should just clean the brakes, you dickhead. Like, this might have an educational value. What will
happen is you'll be like, I really, really, really should get a new car.
Yeah, now that I understand how cars work, I look under the hood and go, that's not good. You know, and then PC Building Simulator was a ton of fun too, which helped me, you know, helped me sort of understand PCs a bit more. Like, so I'm kind of thinking about it in a way of, like, a fun way to educate myself on something else. Right? And I guess, you know, it is kind of, they are all just spreadsheets, the game, and that always seems fun to me. I don't know.
Do it.
Yeah, I might just bank a bunch of records and then see how I go. Might do that. But until then, Max, let's get in the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Well, everybody, it's a new month, which means new PlayStation Essential titles. And this month we have Immortals of Avium, PS5, Minecraft Legends, PS4, PS5, and Skull the Hero Slayer on PS4. What a shit month.
Absolutely, I mean, garbage.
Immortals was good, but yeah. The other
I mean, in terms of, like, big punch and impact, it definitely doesn't have that. However, I think Immortals of Avium was incredibly fine. Like, it was a great example of a 7.5 out of 10. And I really enjoyed it. I saw credits on it. You know, as we know, me getting credits, very difficult because of my ADHD. And I just get distracted. But seeing it through, I really liked the magical weapon system, you know, with, like, the various colors meaning various things. Had, like, it was kind of like that movement based of, like, Doom. So you're always kind of in motion. Awesome. Other than that, yeah, like, I think it's worth checking out. That's a shame that, you know, it didn't get the love it sort of deserved at the time, because, you know, then Avalanche had to, like, lay off half the fucking people. But this is a good way for them to at least get some cash, I guess. And not pay the people because they're all been let go already. But, yeah, Minecraft Legends was always on the list because my son likes Minecraft. But it looked like not Minecraft. Is it? Because Minecraft Dungeons is something else.
Correct.
What the fuck's this then?
Minecraft Legends is like a... what was it? It was like a... kind of like Diablo, as opposed to Dungeons being a, like, an endless dungeon crawler.
That's what Dungeons was. Dungeons was Diablo.
Yeah. I think Legends is kind of the same from memory. I played it, like, once. And I went, this sucks.
Positive, big time review on Minecraft Legends there from Max.
Yeah.
So remember the logo? It was, like, all blue and purpley compared to the dungeons red.
You know the fucking dungeons. No, just tell me what you are, you piece of shit.
It doesn't know. It can't say.
Yeah, there's, like, an overworld. It is. Yeah, I don't know.
Shit. Just poo. The answer is just poo.
There's a fucking single-player campaign, and there's a co-op competitive multiplayer fucking mode.
All right, that's cool. That doesn't sound up my alley.
Here we go. Premise. Minecraft Legends is set in the Minecraft overworld, which has been invaded by piglins from the Nether. Canonically, the events of the game are framed as a legend that has been passed down through generations of villagers in response to the
invasion. Oh, yeah.
No,
he gives
a shit.
Okay.
Fuck off.
No, fuck that game. Skull. Yeah, Skull, I assume, is, like, Viking-esque. The name, like, Skull.
Skull actually looks kind of cool. It's a 2D side-scroller hack and slash.
Sick. All right. Fucking party.
It's a roguelike action platformer. Yeah.
Oh, that's a max game. I've never heard one.
Side-scrolling hack and slash. converts to roguelike action adventure.
All right, so this I spotted on my I was dicking about in PlayStation Stars this week.
This
right?
is cool.
Because I was like, oh, I haven't looked at what's happening in the stars as of late. Go in there, and there's a bunch of cool little trinkets. I'm like,
I sorry to cut you off, but I did the same thing as you, and it turns out I almost have a $70 gift card.
Hey, my shit! I should actually look at how many coins I got.
That'd be so many fucking coins.
Because I could buy
And I don't know how.
I could buy Cafe Owner Simulator. This could feed my simulator habit, Max.
Did we ever sign
the Popsy account?
I don't think we did.
Probably should. Actually, no, don't get distracted, Ryan. We'll check that later.
That's my bad.
No, I've got to find out. But so one of the things, there was a game that was like, one of the things was like, hey, play fucking these games. One of them was Last of Us Part 2. I'm like, oh, I still have that installed. Boom, I'll open it. And I opened it, and then my phone went, hey, do you want to check out this thing? It's called Lore. I'm like, what the fuck is Lore? But that's what I'll tell you. So Sony's introducing in its beta form a new section within the PlayStation app called the Lore, which will sort of turn that PlayStation app into a second style screen experience containing things like diary entries, character profiles, and cutscenes as you come across them in your game. Currently, the functionality is only within The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, which is coincidentally that's the one I booted up, but presumably this will be something that expands to other games in the future. It has been tested to see how it works at this very moment, and it is this weird, unusual extra feature that could potentially be useful down the line. When the app is open, a note in the game is found, and once it's put in the backpack within Last of Us, it quickly becomes available within the app. With a screenshot from the game and the writing in plain text below, and additionally, a characters tab shows us each person present within a cutscene that was playing. So think kind of like IMDb's or Amazon's, where you can pause it and you can pull up IMDb and see which actors are in a particular scene. Once that cutscene is over, it could then be viewed via the app as well if you wanted to watch it again. Now, for particular games where you need information within cutscenes, or something like Alone in the Dark where it's beneficial to go look through all your memos, this kind of rules.
Mm.
But compare it to like the other thing that PlayStation brought in with the PS5 at launch, was the activities tabs, or the things that would show you like, hey, you're having trouble with this trophy. If supported, we can show you how to get it. Or it'll count, you know, you got to collect 50 things. It tells you you've collected 35. Like those little like quality of life improvements are biggies. And I think this is one of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to skip ahead to the next story because it kind of plays into what you've just brought up.
Sweet.
So a future PlayStation 5 update has been revealed in which the game help section of the system interface will be significantly expanded upon. The new community game help is exactly what it sounds like. Players will be able to reference gameplay clips from other users when they're stuck on a certain in-game objective, challenge, or trophies. Currently, select titles on PlayStation 5 offer developer-created hints, which can be viewed by bringing up the card's interface. It's unclear how popular this help system actually is, but we do know that a lot of games don't support it, and that you need to be a PlayStation Plus subscriber to see it anyway. The community game help will add user-created videos, which will apparently be, quote, moderated before made public. Sony says the community clips will be available to everyone to see, even if they don't subscribe to PlayStation Plus, but again, only select games will support this new effort. How do you take part? According to Sony, the whole thing's automatic. Quote, your PS5 will automatically capture a video when you complete a certain activity in the game. It then gets uploaded in the background, stripped of any voice recordings, approved and made free for use to all. You'll also be able to keep track of clips that have been successfully published. It is worth noting that you have to opt into this before Sony starts cherry-picking your gameplay clips, go to Game Captures, Broadcast, all that crap, and turn it on. But just hit the Participate button to opt into the program.
So very similar to Stars, which was opt-in as well.
Yeah. Sony does explain this option will apparently appear, quote, in the coming months. So when I first heard about this, I'm like, oh, great. People are going to fucking upload troll videos all the time. But no, it's just if you pop a trophy, it's just going to have recorded your last 5 minutes of gameplay automatically like the system does anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to strip all the audio from it. If you're in a group or in a party chat, it's going to strip all your audio and upload it in secret.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like it.
Look, it's my initial concern is very similar to yourself in terms of like how is this moderated, how is this controlled, and I assume it's all AI driven. Pardon me, because if it's one of those things where you're like your trophy ping will get uploaded, cool. But I guess within those circumstances, if they're tailored circumstances where it's like this is for this, that's for that, it's very difficult to troll a trophy ping. You know what I mean? Like it's collect 90, collect 50 things, and then you just ping it when you collect 51. You can't be like, you know, here's upskirt of Nier, except for that one trophy that is exactly that. You know, it has the ability to not be that bullshit thing, and especially when you can remove the commentary or any voice or anything, so you can't be like, hey, how do I get this trophy? There's a bunch of N-words being yelled at you, like, you know, which is just the internet. So thankfully those things are reduced, and this is back to what I said before around when the game launched at the help whatever, where the developers had to show you, they had to make the content for it to appear on the trophy list to help you get it. Because, you know, I said this weekend, my son and I got all the trophies for Gang Beasts for no reason, right? Some of them we had to Google because it wasn't clearly explained on how to do it. Where here, I could just, without even having to leave my PlayStation, it's like, bing, oh, there's a community video of showing me how someone did that. Sick. Perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
Big win. Absolute big win. And it turns out I have like 10,000 stars points. 10,419.
Nice.
So what's that? 7,500 is a $30 credit. So, yeah, like 38-ish dollars in credits.
Ew.
Woo. And Cafe Owner Simulator is $30. Just saying. Woo. Get excited for me. But yeah, once again, yes, jump into Stars occasionally, have a little look. This week, Max, I saw the be-all and end-all of fucking PlayStation Stars collectibles.
Kratos' Wang.
It wasn't Kratos' Wang, but goddamn, if it was, I would have got that shit immediately. You know, like, occasionally there's really cool ones. There was one like, hey, here's, you know, the Leviathan Axe from God of War. Here is, you know, the fucking raptor thingies from Horizon. Right. Here's just Miles Morales. Here's the fucking Venom canister.
The sword from Claire from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, you know, here's a PlayStation Portal. Just play a game and here's a portal. That's dope. Here's a fucking thingy. This week, the second I saw it, I went, I have to do whatever is needed to get this collectible. Because it's going to sit on my little collectible shelf with absolute pride. It's a little bobblehead of Jim Ryan. And it's called a nod to Jim Ryan. Because this week, we saw the end of Jim Ryan, the former head of PlayStation Worldwide Studios, crying Jim Ryan, as he was affectionately named during the ABK mergers. Was it, sorry?
He cried one more time.
Yeah, and he cried one more time as he left. And probably cried some happy tears when he saw himself as a PlayStation Stars collectible, because I know why I did. But as it writes here, Friday, which I'm assuming the Friday that just left, marks the end of Jim Ryan's 30-year tenure at Sony Interactive Entertainment. Rest in peace. Having climbed the ladder of the company all the way to the top, his five-year stint as CEO of Worldwide Studios has now drawn to a close. With Hiroki Totoki temporary... Oh, no, my apologies. He's CEO of PlayStation. Head of Worldwide Studios is Herman Holst. With Hiroki Totoki... Literature Club temporarily taking over until a permanent replacement is found. Speaking on the latest official PlayStation podcast, so you know it's good shit, Ryan has one last interview with hard-hitting questions from a PlayStation podcast, doubt it, in which he comments on the platform's evolution, his career, and his thoughts on the PS3 original Boomerang controller. Perhaps the most interesting, though, are his thoughts on how PlayStation is doing as he leaves the office behind. It's fucked, he says, end quote. No. he goes, who fucking cares? Retro games are dumb.
Not my problem.
Not my monkey, not my problem, whatever the expression is. He appears very proud of what's being achieved with PS5 so far. Quote, I'd say that right now, we're at the top of our game. PlayStation 5 is well on track to be our most successful console ever across multiple vectors. I think the games and gaming experiences you see on PS5, led by PlayStation Studios, are the best that we've ever seen. End quote. He continues commenting on the quality of PlayStation Studios' output as well as its quantity, as well as its quality. Quote, the number of games we've published so far on PS5 at this point in the cycle way exceeds anything that we've ever done before. And with all the investment that we've put into the studios and the acquisitions that we've made, that is only going to accelerate and snowball. We sit in a position of strength, and I think the future is bright, he concludes. Ryan also says the thing he's, quote, happiest about leaving behind, end quote, is a, quote, really strong leadership team of excellent individuals, end quote. So as far as he's concerned, he's leaving PlayStation in safe hands going forward. Max, now's the time. Like any good in memoriam, what are some of your... The memories that you have of Jim Ryan that sit close to your heart?
Honestly, not many.
Mine was when just before they launched PlayStation Plus, its tiered versions, premium was big selling point of retro games. He went on the record and said, "Who the fuck wants to play old games?" It's about Ridge Racer, and then they sold a service that was like, "Hey, you want to play old games?" It was rad. It was so good. The other time is every photo of him holding a controller weird, like this, or like this, because that's how you hold controllers, apparently, if you're Jim Ryan.
How mad would it have been if he came out and Jim Ryan was a fucking claw man?
My favorite things he's ever done was all the times that he was asked about what's his favorite game. And it's always whatever the game was about to come out, because he clearly didn't play games. And you know what? Like, in hindsight, that's okay, right? Like, you know, he's a businessman. He's there to be a businessman, do business things. And he did do business things. Like, to his credit, he fought really fucking hard for that ABK shit, right? Like, was it the right decision? No. But he stalled it, and he caused there to be amendments and, you know, little changes. And, you know, he did what he needed to do as CEO.
He did do his job well.
Yeah. And, you know, and then on top of that, having to lead the ship during a worldwide pandemic, yet he still managed to release the PS5, deliver it in good stead, and support it, you know, relatively well. Is he a great personality? No, I don't think he has one. But, you know, it did always make me chuckle when we would come out for State of Plays, whatever, and it was like looking at this very interactive piece of cardboard. Like, he's no Sean Layden. I love Sean Layden. His weird stance, his weird body shape, his weird delivery, his fucking love for Vib Ribbon. You know, like, all those little things that I miss and love. But, you know, he too spoke out of both sides of his mouth, very similar to you know, Phil Spencer.
I'll let you finish your train of thought.
I was going to say, yeah, but I am curious to see what the future holds. Like I said, we got Hiroki Totoki, you know, former Sony...
He's still currently the CFO...
My apologies. Currently the CFO of Sony as a whole.
He's also just taking on the role of CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. So,
yeah,
like,
so...
How much work does this man do as a C-level?
Yeah, it makes me think a couple things. Now... You know, from a speculative standpoint, like, who's going to replace him? Who's going to come in as the new CEO of PlayStation? Like, is it going to be someone that we know? Is it going to be a creative? Is it going to be a business person? We don't really know. Like, is Herman Holst going to step up from head of Worldwide, and then someone from Guerrilla is going to come in behind him, I assume? Like, or is Neil going to become head of Worldwide Studios? Like, wouldn't that be cool? Like, Neil Druckmann, that'd be rad. I don't think that's what he wants to do. I think he's more business-minded, but... you know, and then in that same thought process with the loss of like Connie Booth semi recently, and Jim Ryan going out in a relatively similar time, or at least going into retirement, like, it does beg the question: was he asked to go to leave, or was he making his own choice? Because what we're seeing now is a company that is going back on everything they said in terms of, you know, X amount of live service games. Like, this is the plan moving forward. And that was Jim Ryan's plan as CEO. And then, you know, he goes into retirement and then suddenly it all changes. It's curious.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
So I clearly care more and just in terms of you and I mean that in terms of not like as in I seem to have a focus on like the behind of PlayStation a little bit more than yourself in some ways, and that's fine.
It's one of those things though, like obviously the concern here is it's not a concern. So the issue is that currently the person who has stepped up to fill Jim Ryan's shoes is the CFO of the entirety of the company. Hmm. So he's obviously very
not of the division.
Yeah, of the company. Entire, like the entire
the corporation.
Company. What I'm more interested in is not where they're going to go from here and who's going to fill in, but how long Totoki will be on as interim CEO.
And you're absolutely bang on because as you mentioned, like what would if someone can be two spots in a C suite, like
the thing is, well, it's not just that. It's like I'm gonna use a really fucking bad analogy here, but look at it in like politics. So
you can't do that because there was that one time that Scott Morrison was the head of like 18 departments, and he did it just fine. He spent most of his time in Hawaii, so.
More of the like when the new party come in, they kind of play catch up from the previous 4 years that the other party was.
Yeah, the
in
first
charge.
Year and a half.
So
is,
like
yeah.
it's not like if let's say the next fucking 8 months for PlayStation are absolute bangers, it's not really Totoki's win. It's still Jim
Absolutely.
Ryan's win from him coming in. Like we're not going to see the ripple effect from this happen for a while. Mm. And, like, obviously, you know, Jim Ryan did come out. And he's like, we're going to do fucking live service games. They had 16 in the wheelhouse. I think 8 of them have been canned so far. None of them have come out.
Except for Helldivers, I guess.
Yeah, I guess Helldivers is kind of live service, isn't it?
It's absolutely a live service. And an
awesome 100%. It's like 110% live service.
like, it's sort of, except for all of it.
But you know what I mean? Like, are they going to... From now that Jim Ryan's out, are they going to do a fucking hard handbrake and be like, we're not doing this anymore? And then all of them get canned. Because we don't know anything that Sony's doing at all.
Yeah, exactly.
so it's hard to say.
And it's a... go ahead.
It's hard to say where they're going to go from here. Because obviously, they don't want... Like, I don't know if... Totoki wants to be in this role for a prolonged period of time because obviously he's just interim CEO. He's obviously got bigger fish to fry as a C-suite of the entirety of the company as opposed to just one subdivision. And you would imagine that job takes time and effort and all that stuff as well as what he's doing here. So it'll be very interesting to see, one, how quickly the turnaround is. Two, if they do go for another business-minded person like Jim Ryan or if they do go that creative suite to have someone who... not only kind of has that passion for gaming itself and wants to see it progress and evolve into a greater medium as opposed to just fucking bigger numbers on a spreadsheet.
And I get, and I think that you absolutely bang on there because when you've got a CFO running the place, right?
Yes.
And that does dictate the path that they're going to take. You know, yeah. Because that's just how that individual is minded. Now, granted, everything isn't one person. It is a collective of individuals coming together. However, you still have that one, the figurehead, right? It's the one person that kind of gives it the all. And if we once again, going back to Sean Layden, a creative individual who started in game development that got to that position, his focus was very much on, and we see it now in his comments out since leaving head of Worldwide Studios, you know, we see him talk about the creative of and how the mismatch between creative and business, especially in when you're dealing with art as a commodity.
Mm.
So to then have, yeah, Jim Ryan come in, someone who's worked as in, you know, a particular side and he's a business minded guy. And, you know, in hindsight, looking at what he's had to face, he's the best person for it. but looking forward, and now we're essentially in this interesting gaming bubble that may or may not burst at any moment. You know, we got layoffs everywhere, shit, you know, people being acquired and sold, and all these things happening everywhere. Like, do you want a creative in that space, or do you want someone that's fiscally aware and sort of can understand the dollars, which is helpful to have Totoki in there? And I, once again, that coincides with that thought process of, if they have been funding all these live service games, many of them being canned, that's a lot of sinking money. So it makes sense to have a financially minded person come in and like go, the fuck? Which I think is kind of weird.
But then it begs the question of, why did the financially minded person originally put them in motion?
The difference there,
game will make us money forever as opposed to a one-off purchase.
The difference there would have been the CFO of Sony as a whole kind of just looks at everything, where the financial decision would have been made within Worldwide Studios itself.
I kind of meant like the business-minded person made the decision to begin with, and now we've got another business model person.
Which
equating to Jim Ryan being a CFO type person.
Okay.
It was just more that they're both businessmen, not creative men.
So I thought you meant in terms of Totoki coming in.
Sorry, that was my poor.
No, that's absolutely that's absolutely on me for misunderstanding, so I apologize. But yeah, no, that's a very good point, right? Like, he was reading the tea leaves at the time and went, this is what the future should be. Little did everyone realize that games as a service only work if you support it properly and give it the money and time it deserves.
And it kind of has to really be a banger.
It does.
Like, it has to be better than the other live service games because you can only really play one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, to expand on that, like, we look at the gaming market as a whole. That's right. We notice how, like, when it comes to console sales, the numbers always around the same. Like, it never really tops out about 200 million consoles sold, right? It's not like it was 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. It's not exponentially growing or consistently growing. So if you've got a similarly based number of people buying consoles and you have more and more games that demand more and more time, that market is tougher and tougher, right? So, like, to your point, as you said, like, you only have so much time in your week.
That's what always baffled me, because he came out where he's like, you know, our studios are doing 16 live service games. I'm like, why are you fucking cutting your own lunch?
Yeah, do three. Three. Done. Boom. Three different genres. Nailed it.
They're all fighting over each other's time. Like, why would you... That seemed crazy to me at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do I know?
Well, maybe more, because you didn't maybe get fired. It's a tough one. Am I sad to see him go? No, because that would be mean. And I do, you know, he put his 30 years at one company is fucking insane.
I think you meant to say yes. Are you sad to see him go? Yes, because it would be mean otherwise.
Yeah. Sorry, I went the other way. Am I sad to see him go? Yes, I am. But that sucks for anyone losing their job, right? That's
For sure.
But, you know, it's new blood. It changes. I do wonder, you know, back to 2024. Why the fuck am I still talking? With, you know, the transition from even, you know, Sean Layden as CEO, you know, and then into Jim, like, there was a tonal shift in PlayStation as a whole.
I mean, the other big thing is now also it's going to be run by an Easterner, not a Westerner.
Exactly, right? So like,
that's also going to shift the dynamics a little bit. Yeah,
we went from a very personality-driven, community-focused company with PlayStation and the PS3 to PS4 to then go to we don't say shit from PS4 to PS5 within Jim Ryan's tenure, right? So what is this next shift? Like, how is, you know, PlayStation have done a lot of things to really focus themselves as the boutique, the Apple of console gaming, right? Like, where do they take that now? Like, yeah, it's interesting space. But, you know, speaking of PlayStation, we do all the time, sometimes Xbox gets involved in those conversations.
Yes. So, apparently, Xbox will release the majority, quote, of its tentpole first-party titles on PlayStation 5 in the future, as its multi-format strategy gathers pace. Earlier in the year, they spoke at a strategic business meeting where it announced four console-exclusive titles, including Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves, would launch on Sony's format. While it stopped short of confirming other rumored releases, it did insinuate that this was simply the start of a new philosophy for Xbox. According to GamesIndustry.biz's well-connected Christopher Dring, there's much more to come. Quote, from what I understand, the majority of Xbox's first-party games will be coming to PS5 at some point, assuming it progresses as Xbox believes it probably will. He said on a podcast, quote, I think Xbox is in real trouble as a hardware manufacturer, and that was the thing that came out of GDC for me, end quote. In the wake of flatlining hardware sales in Europe, Dring explained that some publishers are pondering whether to even continue supporting the Xbox console. Quote, you can follow our monthly coverage in the games market, and you can see that Xbox sales are falling, and it's been falling all throughout last year, and it's falling even harder this year, he noted. The phrase one major company who released a big game last year said was, quote, I don't know why we bothered supporting it, end quote. Dring quoted the other high-level executives who noted a lot of work goes into creating multiple versions of Xbox games, so they scale across both the series of the X's and the S's hardware profiles, he explained. Quote, you've got third-party publishers going, we're putting in a lot of effort for trying to create a Series S version and an X version of a game when, to be honest with you, for us, the market is PC and PS5. End quote.
Look, it's no surprise, right?
Because realistically, they're not making three copies of the game. They're making five copies of the game, and three of them are on Xbox.
Correct. And which coincidentally ties into the next story, is it's Game Pass, right? Like, yeah. All this effort, all this time, it goes over to Microsoft and people don't buy games there anymore. Like, pardon me, Game Pass, for a customer, I've said this the whole time, is exceptional value for the customer. But it is detrimental to the industry. It is detrimental to the development teams, to the business side of it, right? Because it is fiscally impossible to maintain long term. And that is why we're seeing these games aren't coming across out of desire. They're coming across out of necessity, right? Because they have to, right? In the same way that we saw interesting things this week. I looked ahead, it's not in the news, with Illphonic, the team behind Predator Hunting Grounds. Like, they have announced that, you know, the game is now coming to Xbox this week.
And I didn't even see anything about it.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, fucking PlayStation releasing games on Xbox. Ooh. No, because you know why? Because PlayStation, Sony gave up the publishing rights to the game. It is now published by Illphonic. It is no longer a PlayStation published game. Therefore, they can do whatever they want with it. In the same way they did that with Remedy. Not PlayStation particularly, but Microsoft did with Remedy when they went, you can have Alan Wake. And they went, fuck yeah. And what did they do? Instantly put it everywhere else. Right?
Mm.
Same thing. Same principle. So, like, that happening is not indicative of PlayStation doing the similar approach, because they don't have to, right? They don't have to put them on Xbox, because why the fuck would they? The only thing they have to put over there is MLB, because a couple of years ago we talked about it here on the show, MLB went, you release it on other platforms or you no longer make the game. We have the rights, we will pull those rights. And Sony San Diego make a stack of coin off MLB, they do it, right? So hence why MLB is on Game Pass. However, where do people buy it the most still? It's on fucking Xbox, still on PlayStation. So this is coming out of necessity. This is Microsoft going, no one bought these games, and no one's going to buy these games because it's on Game Pass. Let's put it on PlayStation, charge it as a slightly cheaper than release price, and they'll just fucking eat it up. Which they did. You look like, you know, Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves was the fucking most wishlisted game on PlayStation.
Yeah, not wishlisted, most pre-ordered. People have paid money, pre-ordered that game. So they're already doing exactly what they wanted to, which is make more cash, which is not a bad thing. Once again, it is the business of this business, the industry, right? But it's just this, you know, idea of they're doing it as this goodwill gesture or whatever. No, it's because there's no fucking money in Game Pass. And that brings us into this next piece, which is a little bit down. So I'm skipping some stuff. We'll come back.
I don't know why I didn't fucking put this under there.
That's all right. So it looks as though the plump pockets of the big corporations like Epic and Microsoft are beginning to empty, and it's putting some smaller studios in an awkward position. After offering funds in exchange for exclusivity or availability on Game Pass, many indie devs have come to rely on those deals to finance their projects. Huh. Funny that. However, it seems those deals are becoming harder to lock down, and they're worth less than they ever have been. Speaking in an interview to GDC, Casey Yano, co-founder of Slay the Spire studio Megacrit, says he's heard the same story over and over. Quote, I talked to at least five small teams, like 35 members and under, during GDC, and they're like, cuts, 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 funding cancelled. Talks that were going on for a year, cancelled, he said. It sounds like it's shit. We're definitely very privileged to be able to be self-funded. Otherwise, it'd be a very, very... I'd be very, very scared right now, end quote. Chris Bourassa, co-founder of Red Hook Studios, the team behind Darkest Dungeon, pointed out that Microsoft's deals for putting a game on Game Pass have, quote, come down in scope, end quote, and that it's a similar story with Epic and the Epic Game Store. Previously, these deals have allowed some teams to break even on their games before they've even been released, offering a lot of security even if sales were lower than expected. Now, this is becoming a less and less reliable safety net as the purse strings are tightening. It is unfortunate, however, if not surprising, a situation. Looking at Game Pass, it's always pushed for day one releases, and Microsoft's bottomless coffers have bankrolled countless small titles to ensure they're part of the package. However, as subscriber numbers plateau and growth slows, we're not surprised that Phil Spencer and the team are having to be a little more conservative. You have to assume this also applies to Sony and PS Plus, as they'll also be offering deals to various teams to get them onto the extra catalog. While there have been some rare examples of day one releases, things like Sea of Stars or what's that cat game?
Foam Stars,
Stray.
Stray.
Sony's decision to largely sidestep this perk of Game Pass may prove to be smarter in the long term. And I completely agree.
So at GDC, Epic changed the way they do their deals. So they have one of the best revenue splits in the business of, I think it's 88 to 12. Steam's is 70-30.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's like 80 plus or something for Epic.
Yeah, which is so insane. Yeah, I think it's 88-12. But moving forward, they're like, hey, if you give us exclusivity for the first 6 months, 100% revenue is yours. And then after that 6 month period, we'll go back to the 88-12 split.
Yeah.
So you've got 6 months to make as much money as you as humanly possible. And then we'll start taking our cut.
The thing about this, right? And the interesting part about this as a concept, and like it is reinforcing a speculation that most people have had around Game Pass is that it's incorrectly balancing the back end, the finances of the industry, right? Yeah. Where very similar to Apple and the iPhone with that race to the bottom, how no one buys a game that's over $3. You know, like they Apple by design fucking broke the mobile gaming market to such a point that it can never recover. Game Pass is doing the same thing. That, you know, and actually all streaming services have done it. If I'm going to be honest, all streaming services have done it. In that they have artificially inflated the revenue of these games, because as it says right there, these games are making money before they even release. Because Microsoft have gone, here's an X amount of money, probably more money than you would make. Come be with us, exclusivity. And then they get the exclusive window, and then a couple months later or a year later, they drop on other platforms, and then they ideally make some money there too. If the game is good and it has that great tail, pardon me, the people then don't, like, you know, didn't play it over here, now want to go play it 6 months later when that hype is gone. They have devalued games as a collective by saying, you know what, games aren't worth buying day one. Get them on Game Pass. They're not worth paying that $70, that $100 Australian. You just wait. You just get on Game Pass. Therefore, studios will spend less. They will pump those motherfuckers with microtransaction to make up the deficit. It has the potential to irreparably damage this industry at large. And now we're seeing it the other way. Because the next story we're about to go into is the overvaluation of studios. We're seeing overvaluation of studios, overvaluation of games, and to what I said before, the idea is this another gaming bubble that's about to burst? Fuck yes it is. And it's about to kick dick so hard. So hard. And we should all be incredibly concerned.
So as you alluded to, Take-Two has announced its plans to acquire Gearbox Entertainment from the Embracer Group in a deal reported to be worth $460 million. The buyout makes logical sense as Gearbox Entertainment will operate under the framework of 2K Games, which has long been the publisher of the popular Borderlands series anyway, and it will be led by founder Randy Pitchford. Gearbox Entertainment says it currently has 6 projects in the works, including 5 sequels, 2 of which belong to the Borderlands and Homeworld franchises. The developer will retain IP ownership of the 2 previously mentioned franchises, as well as Tiny Tina's Wonderland, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Duke Nukem. To add complication, however, Embracer Group will continue to control Gearbox's publishing San Francisco, which will be renamed and will hold onto the publishing rights for titles like Hyper Light Drifter. Quote, joining forces with Take-Two Interactive and 2K will help Gearbox ascend to our next level, said a presumably minted Randy Pritchford. Take-Two and 2K have demonstrated repeatedly that their commitment to our engine of generating creativity, happiness, and profit. We set the bar for interactive entertainment and achieved remarkable results with groundbreaking, record-setting games when we worked together at arm's length as partners. I'm incredibly excited about what we can accomplish now that we are fully aligned as one. Do you want me to just cover the next story?
Yeah, just keep going.
So, less than a day after the news that Take-Two Interactive would acquire Borderlands developer Gearbox Entertainment from Embracer Group, layoffs have already begun. In the hours since former Gearbox employees were made redundant, they've taken to Twitter, and while the total number of staff impacted remains hard to determine, it sounds significant. Insider Gaming has reached out to Gearbox and new parent Take-Two Interactive for comment, but in the meantime, blindsided staff are telling the story for them. Former PR manager Jennifer Locke posted, quote, along with countless others, I've just been informed I've been laid off at Gearbox. Senior user research investigator Jules Verne said, I just lost my job. Chris Harada, director of online engagement, wrote on LinkedIn, after 3 incredible years at Gearbox, my journey with the company has concluded. Embracer Group sold the Texas-based company for just $460 million, less than half of what it paid for Gearbox back in 2021, shilling out some $1.3 billion then to acquire the studio in the first place. That's an approximate loss of $840 million in just over 2 years, illustrating quite well the ridiculous state of the video game industry. Now, to be fair, not that it makes any difference or it sucks for those people any less, but most of the people that lost their jobs were all in PR. And obviously Take-Two have their own PR teams and they're like, we don't need to double dip here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very similar to what happened with the ABK stuff, right?
Like, don't get me wrong, it still sucks for those people who had jobs and they're like, don't. But at the same time, I understand from a business perspective that they're not going to pay 2 people to do the same job when they already have employees that will do it. Doesn't make it any less shitty or any less egregious, but I understand.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. It's tough, and I like from where I'm sitting, and as this coincides with what I was saying before, right? The overinflated value, where the Embracer Group just had fucking bags of money swinging their dicks around. There is no fucking absolute no reason that Gearbox is worth $1.3 billion, and we saw that today, $840 million lost.
Well, it's
and this is the thing, and that is why they were let go, because at no point were they ever worth that much money, right?
But so look at what they kept of Gearbox, which was their publishing arm.
Yeah.
Which is what Embracer was buying a lot of, were publishers.
Yeah, because they want fucking IP. That's what they want, yeah. Right? So, and that's the thing. So they kept part of it. They got rid of the development team because they didn't fucking, Borderlands, go make that somewhere else, and they made it with 2, and they're going to make it with 2K and Take-Two. Perfect pickup, by the way. Absolutely, they should have been where they lived before all this. Just saying, but this is a concern. So the reason Embracer would have let them go is because the idea would have been, we're going to buy you for $1.3 billion. You are going to recoup that amount in a window of time. But they can't, because clearly they're not worth that. They were worth $460 million this entire goddamn time. Right?
Yeah.
So the expectation on them to deliver that is had been unmanageable all the fucking time. And we're seeing this all across the space, Max. There are studios that have all been bought up by Embracer that are being fucking dropped and laid off and cancelled and pulled apart. And it's bad. It's real bad. Like, I don't want to be big cynical fucking dude about it, but it's bad. The future is not good for gaming. Am I in a, like, freak? Am I in, like, a freaking out sort of situation, or am I looking too hard? Like, what's the dealio?
Sorry, I got sidetracked by one of Padge's posts on Twitter. No, look, it's I think you're right. I think this gaming bubble that's gonna pop is gonna pop soon. It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
Of craziness.
And yeah, and it's this tough circumstance where, like, you know, we want this to be a good space, lots of people making games, lots of people being sold, like, you know, lots of things being sold and picked up and like, fuck yeah, woo, Brent, love it. I don't know. I'm sitting, yeah. I feel in this weird position where I'm sitting here.
It sounds like all the fingers of the monkey paw are almost down and we're going to be fucked soon.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be as gnarly as the crash of the 80s. Maybe more, you know. It's concerning times, Max. Concerning times. I think that's like all the news parts.
That is. That's all the news parts. We got some quick bitties. I actually have an upcoming titles list for
you
all this week.
Well, let's get into them quick bitties. I only got a couple this week, Max. There's one I want to add as well.
Go for it.
So Minecraft is to finally be getting a PS5 native version soon, which is good.
Bit late,
but good. The Joker DLC is now available for the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. If for any reason you still have that installed on your console, I don't. Inside Final Fantasy VII Rebirth doco is available on YouTube now. Max, now that you've rolled credits, you going to check it out?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty interested to see. Because this is one of the rare occasions where a lot of the team was retained after remake to make Rebirth. Wow. So, yeah.
Oh, speaking of, like, fucking gaming docos, I started watching the Kojima one.
I still haven't watched the Kojima one. So I went to watch it one night. I'm like, oh, no, I have to watch it to fucking subtitles.
Yeah, that was my problem, too. I was like, oh, this is rad. Oh, I'm going to have to really pay attention to this, aren't I? Fuck. And then I did watch like half of it. I'm like, this is cool. It is kind of just everyone wanking off Kojima for an hour, for 45 minutes. That's cool. It's cool to see like the thought process of like Death Stranding and then sort of seeing how literally his hand is in everything, which is cool in that it's like, oh, rad. You're a major micromanager, which makes sense because as an auteur, you know, you are the vision. This is everything that you have created in your head and you want to see it be delivered. So fuck yeah, I get that. Well, well done. It does. It is a giant jerk fest for Kojima though, which is not a bad thing, right? Good jerking. Marvel's Rivals was announced. It's a 6v6 Overwatch style shooter.
It looks fucking awesome.
Not for me. But, like, sure. Oh, did you... not even remotely close. Did you play that beta yet?
Yeah, but you didn't send me the information, so I didn't know if I could talk about it or not.
Oh, we could totally talk about it.
Shout out to Ben and Emco Australia. I got to play in the closed network test for Sin Duality, their upcoming mech game. There's a short little enclosed area. I've kind of played the tutorial area. It tells you how to work the mech. It gives you a short insight into the story. So basically, it is set on a world that it has been ravaged by weird moon rain that has essentially killed 90% of the population. And the 10% that were left over, like, you know what? We're going to fucking build mechs and kill each other. So the best way to explain it and how I played it so far is it's kind of... mech warrior, but not as hardcore. And it's
Okay.
a little bit more resource gathering to upgrade your mech and stuff like that. It has changes in weather patterns. So if it's raining, it's that fucking dank rain that kills you. So you have to stay hidden because the mech suit just fucking deteriorates like a motherfucker in the rain. The combat's pretty fun. It's essentially you are in a mech suit, fly around, shoot the people. You can as you partake in the combat, you kind of power up your pilot, and the pilots have special skills depending on what suits they're in. So the one that I picked essentially just locks onto a bunch of fucking targets at once and just homing missiles the shit out of them. It's great.
Like sort of just like big fireworky chaos spray.
It's very animated in its graphic style, so it's a bit more
Are we talk
anime-esque.
kind of like is are we talking like the anime of, let's say, like the Attack on Titan games, or more anime like Persona?
It's definitely not like Persona.
But okay.
It's not like that stylized anime. It's kind of like that cartoonish anime to a degree.
Okay, so kind of like the Naruto games that have come out recently. Like most anime games kind of look janky and a bit shitty. Is it kind of in that
So,
space?
no, it's not that bad.
That's
It's
good.
slightly better than what the Naruto games look like, if I'm to be honest. But
It's like the
yeah,
DBZ games.
yeah, kind of,
Ooh, good one. Okay, I can
kind
work
of.
with that. I can work with
So
that.
yeah, it's a lot of you go out, you ping the world, and it's like, hey, here's the mana resource, here's the resources you kind of need to go mine, to upgrade all your gear. You go do those, and it's kind of mission structured. And then once you've completed as much as you want to complete, you essentially evac back under the earth to safety, and then you do your battle report, and you can upgrade and do all that stuff. I've only played a very little bit of it. Again, when I got it, it was the night that we went into hospital for my daughter, so I didn't get to play a ton.
What a shit
It is
kid.
still running for another 2 days, so I'll jump into it.
Yeah.
It was a very short window for a closed network test, but this is another one of those games that I saw at about 4 or 5 standard plays ago. I'm like, this looks like me.
Yeah. And that's what makes it
And
even
then
funnier. So like
I saw the Bandai Namco thing. I'm like, yeah, like 80% of Bandai Namco games are like totally max hands.
absolutely. What my favorite part about emailing them the PR team here, I won't name them just for privacy. I don't want to be that guy. It's fun because I'm like, hey, Max is really excited for this game. Because like 9 times out of 10, yeah, most Bandai games ain't for me. It's like, sorry, most Square Enix games aren't really for me. Like Namco games tend to, because they're the same PR place here. So some Namco games get my attention. Obviously, Tekken's a big one, and I'm fucking shitting myself. Oh, Eddie Gordo. Woo. But yeah, and that's what's even really fun about this email is it was like, hey, this is like a Max game. And then I read I looked into it, I Googled it, and then I'm like, son of a bitch, that is exactly a Max game. Like, holy shit, did he nail it? Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, I had a blast with it. So I'll play it a bit more before the network text ends. I think it ends like tomorrow or on Tuesday for us.
We don't have work. It's a long weekend.
No. So yeah, we'll give it a bit more of a whirl.
Yeah.
And
So apology to
yeah,
the
I
team
enjoyed
for talking about it so
it.
late in the episode. I forgot about it until I looked at my phone a second ago, and
Yeah,
I
no,
opened my email and went,
I
oh
just
yeah.
wasn't sure. Because most of the time you send me a whole thing, and this time it's like, here's your key, and that's all you're getting. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, normally I give all the
Give
information because the information was, fuck it, have fun with it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then you asked me, and then I sort of got distracted and wandered off. So, like, on me, I guess.
Well, I don't want to be the one guy that accidentally says something I'm not supposed to, and then you have to do more editing at the
Eh,
end of the night.
I barely edit these things. It's all
But
good.
no, I played it. It's pretty rad. I don't think there's a date for it yet.
No, I don't think so.
Because it's sometime. But yeah, right up my alley.
But yeah, so the last bit, and then back to quick bits. Thank you for the team. It looks Max clearly loves it.
So much so that I back ended the show. Save the best for last.
That's a good point.
Slap and slide Namco in there.
One little quick bit that I did hear rumblings of this week. Apparently, if you look over at LinkedIn, Days Gone Studio
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Sony
it's
Bend
Ben.
are actively hiring, But what is interesting is they are looking for individuals who have experience within live service games and individuals that have assisted in essentially a fundamental change of a studio structure, in that Sony Bend are now, they're going to be making, like, how do we pivot this entire studio to a live service studio? Because once again, if we go back to discussions we had either early this episode, but also in previous episodes around like Naughty Dog being incapable of supporting Last of Us Online because they know it's going to take the next 10 years and they have other games to make. Where Bend, who I love them, I really enjoyed Days Gone for what it was. I desperately wanted Days Gone 2. But with most of the key individuals that made that game no longer being there, they have clearly made the decision to change a studio. And with the closure of Sony London recently, and then the disconnection between them and Deviation, and then there was that, I think that was the mobile studio. There was another, the mobile studio got shut down too. Bunch of layoffs. I think the only reason that Bend survived is because they're doing this. If they weren't doing this, I think they'd be gone.
I'm going to add one more quick bit as well. It's Nintendo related, but I think it's a really fucking cool story.
You shut your mouth.
So next week, the servers are being shut down for Mario, the original Mario Maker.
None of that is relevant at all.
And there was a bunch of fucking streamers out there called Team 0%. They have beaten every single Mario Maker level that was ever uploaded.
Really?
They went and finished them all. Every single level has been beaten.
Holy shit, on that's genuinely impressive.
There's one left that they're still working on, but it turns out the person only managed to upload the file by using a tool-assisted speedrunning program to complete the level for them, as it was, at the time, humanly impossible.
So it's absolutely jacked.
You have to beat your level to upload it.
Yeah.
So they used a program to automatically beat the level to get it uploaded. But as of, I think I was watching a video yesterday, they have almost beaten that level. As human players.
Well, I'm just going to put it out there. The power of ASD, everyone. The power of autism is allowing that to happen. Neurodiversity rules. No fucking normie would do that. Why would a normie want to do that?
But it's pretty cool for a community to come together and be like, you know what? Our servers are being shut down. We're going to beat every single fucking level ever uploaded.
It's also insane that they're shutting them down, by the way.
Well, Mario Maker 2 exists.
Oh, yeah.
And no one owns a fucking... What are they called? What was the one before the Switch?
Wii U.
The one with the stupid tablet. Yeah, no one owns a Wii U anymore.
Yeah, not many people owned a Wii U when they're available.
I bought one. It fucking sucked.
Well,
I bought it for one game. I bought it for Zombie U. So
wait,
because the person who plays it uses the tablet would place the fucking zombies down for the other players.
Okay, yeah, that novelty.
That novelty sold me, and then I realized it was fucking shit.
So my mate got. I remember going, because this is when I was at uni at the time. My mate got it. We went and picked it up midnight. Went back and played it, and we played Zombie U. And I was like, oh, this is shit. He was really excited about it because he spent money and was like, wanted it to be good. And I'm like,
were you there that night when I picked it up?
No, this was when I lived in Melbourne, so this was like no chance. No, I was living in the northern suburbs at that point. But like I said, like, the one decent thing about, you know, the Wii U is there were some good games on it, then they re-put them onto other things. But, you know, there's always new games to play, Max.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the games that are coming out this week.
Have a fucking listen.
Oh, the best thing about last week, Max, like, there's no games coming out. Proceeds to then 3 hours later go, yeah, there's like 9 games coming out, by the way. I'm fucked. Like, thanks, Max. Sends me a picture of all these games. I'm like, not helpful. The show is edited. It's uploading. I can't change it. And why? And I, since when do we do fucking post edits, Max?
To be fair, I think it was also like a day later.
It was. I'm exaggerating on the how recent it was, but it was like enough time to be like, thanks.
Yeah.
You could have done it this week when there's no fucking games. God damn it. Are you checking? Because like, you've given me what?
So there's a game in the upcoming, spoiler alert, for 3rd of April. There's a game called Deceit 2 coming to PlayStation 5. I have the original Deceit on Steam.
Oh.
And I wanted to see if it was actually a sequel to that, and it turns out it fucking totally is, and I may pick this up.
So what is Deceit?
So Deceit is one of those... it's a 3D Among Us. So it's one of those social investigation games.
One of those like Secret Wills Within or Secret Hitler or whatever.
Secret Hitler or whatever. Yeah. And it's so much fun. It's one of those. It's a fucking free to play game. This one's not, spoiler alert. Well, actually, according to Steam, Playing to Seat 2 is free to play. But essentially, you go and do tasks together as a team, and then there's two people who are, I think in Deceit 1, they're werewolves, and you fucking transform at nighttime, and you fucking go and slay everyone out. And their job is to try and either arrest you during the day and like zip tie you up so you can't, or kill you at night while you're a bad boy. So much fun. I'm stoked that there's a Deceit 2. Didn't even know that.
You made this list. I guess. Yeah. You didn't just have that realization this very second. I assumed you had it earlier.
I didn't read it earlier. I literally copied and pasted this list. Spoiler alert. And now that I'm reading the list, I'm like, fuck, there's some games in here. And by some, I mean one.
This one game has my attention.
Yeah, the one.
God damn it. All right, Max, seeing as it's your turn, you can read the rest of them out now.
All right, cool. Upcoming
get less excited about the other ones.
Upcoming channel, 2nd of April, we have Saviorless on PS5 and Withering Rooms on PS5.
Not Withering April, Heights, not the Kate Bush song?
No.
No.
The 3rd of
Shout
April
out to two Stranger Things references in the one episode, by the way.
3rd of April was the aforementioned Deceit 2 coming to PS5. Ooh, and the 4th of April
aforementioned. Fucking Freedom margaritas get your vocabulary going.
PS5, PS4, and if you ever thought Rocket League and soccer sucked, here's Turbo Golf Racing on PS5. I played Turbo Golf Racing like last year because it was part of Xbox's fucking preview program.
Oh, yeah.
Literally Rocket League, but it's golf. So you have 8 people all trying to fucking mini golf car bash their golf ball into a hole before everyone else.
Is it about getting it in quicker, or like is it still par based?
It's always getting it in quicker.
Hot.
There's no such thing as pars. They're like big race tracks that you have to push your ball down and get it in the end zone.
Then that's not golf.
Yeah, but you know it is.
But
it's a driving range, Ryan. We're not playing 18 holes.
But the driving range, you wang it once and then you see.
No, but I'm driving my car on the range and I'm just pushing the ball along.
Then that's just Rocket League.
That's why it's called golf racing, because it's not golf holing, it's racing on the golf course.
If it was golf holing, that's a good name. It's a damn shame. But all right, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you to everyone that listened to the whole way through, and even the part about holing, I guess. Holing. It is always a joy doing this show. You even get to say dumb shit. I get ranty in the middle there somewhere, but I hope you enjoyed it nonetheless. Mute's like, yes, yes. You did get ranty in the middle there, you piece of shit. Like, thank you. Thank you, Mute. I appreciate it. He did not say any of them. He just said yes, yes. I extrapolated on the rest to continue my own narrative. Max, let's close this bad boy out. Send him home.
Well, everybody, as I blare widescreen on my other monitor. Well, everybody,
I didn't even wrap the show, and you're like, I'm already looking at other tabs. I'm done.
I didn't realize my Twitter wasn't on dark mode. Well, everybody, this PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as not at... Oh, shit.
I picked the shittiest pen in the world to do fucking notes with. It sucks ass.
And 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturesweek. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, if you want to become part of the show, you can. Twitch.tv/popculturesweek. If you want to support the show, you can by telling your friends, telling your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on our podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players. I hope I didn't damage my wall when I yeeted that pen. I have an inspection next week.
I'm trying to work out how the fuck Page saw credits on Helldivers 2. I think it's just in the options menu.
Mac got distracted midway through the show because our good friend Paul James was like, I got credits on Helldivers. It's like, that's not how this game fucking works. What's his claim?
The Twitter list that he has.
The games he's completed.
He's like, 20 minutes ago, I rolled credits on Helldivers. I'm like, fuck off, that game doesn't have credits.
No, it doesn't. And then he sent a YouTube video of the credits, but like, how is he deeming, is he just deeming that he's done with it?
I think he's deeming that he's done with it, because I don't think there's an end game.
No, there isn't an end game. There's no campaign for you.
I think he's talking out his ass, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I can't talk. I've only finished like fucking 3 games this year, and one of them was last this week, so... In short,
you've done more than 3. You beat Tekken.
Yeah, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
I've played a lot of like never-ending games this year, like MLB and WWE, and
is it just Prince of Persia, Tekken, and fucking Alone in the Dark for you? What a year!
Oh,
I'll put my phone here. Yeah, I'll tell you what I've done this year.
Oh shit, this fucking episode's still going.
Where's my notes? Samsung notes. Games played. Here we go.
Oh, it's April Fool's.
Yeah, today.
Is that what he's fucking with?
No, but it's not April Fool's yet. It's still the 31st.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I rolled credits on Final Fantasy Strangers in Paradise, Prince of Persia, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, Tekken 8, Final Fantasy Rebirth. That's it.
Well, yeah, look, I've got Prince of Persia, Tekken 8, and Alone in the Dark. So games that I've played this year, Cyberpunk 2077, super long, got distracted, left it. Last of Us Part 2, got distracted, left it. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, that game is stupid long. Silent Hill, the short message, that game fucking sucked. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, I don't want to finish it. Helldivers 2, cannot be finished. WWE 2K24, the modes that I play can't be finished. MLB The Show, the modes that I play can't be finished. Rise of the Ronin, don't want to finish it. Gas Station Simulator, cannot be finished. Supermarket Simulator, cannot be finished. Forest Farm, I don't believe it can be finished. Hi-Fi Rush, playing it currently, haven't finished it. My choice of games have been poor for credits so far this year.
It's like that time that I said I was going to finish fucking Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that was a dumb move. It's fucking 3 years later and you still haven't done it yet. Speaking of 3 years later, this episode should have finished by now. Bye, everyone!